Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. As local officials weigh the risks and rewards of reopening their local economies, they face a series of intertwined economic, public health, and public relations dilemmas. Local businesses throughout our region have been decimated by the COVID-19 pandemic, and the questions are many. How can businesses reopen safely while raising consumer confidence? And what are local chambers of commerce doing to advocate for local businesses in serious need of support? Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Earlier this month, the state Supreme Court struck down the Safer at Home order that kept thousands of businesses closed. After the ruling, some businesses immediately opened their doors while others are still finalizing their plans to re-enter the economy. Joining us today are two representatives from local chambers of commerce, organizations working with businesses to ensure their future success amid the COVID-19 pandemic. From the Greater Wausau Chamber of Commerce, President Dave Ekman is with us today. Dave, thank you for being here.
Shereen, thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
You bet. Also joining us for today's discussion is Angel Whitehead. Angel is the president of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce in Wisconsin Rapids. Angel, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
You bet. You can join the conversation too. Email your questions to route51@wpr.org and be sure to include your first name and your community of residence. You can call us at 800-780-9742. Dave, I'd like to start by asking you to explain a little bit about what chambers do. So what is their role in the community exactly?
Shereen, When you talk about a chamber of commerce, every community has different needs, and I think everybody needs to know that chambers in their maturity are different stages where they serve their community. Many will do a lot of event planning and work with CVB and then businesses. But then there's organizations like the Greater Wausau Chamber, where we've been a chamber since 1912, and really we're at the heart of the community. And when I say that, we're not the heart of the community, but we're at the core of it. And when we have membership of about 900, we're made up of membership from business and industry, government, not-for-profits, and education. And so we connect and we convene and we communicate and we advocate and we collaborate. And we, at least at this point in time, where we've been putting a lot of focus on developing and retaining talent, still an issue for the region. But we work to really enhance the relationships and build a strong community.
Okay, Angel, the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber, I know it's physically located in Wisconsin Rapids, but you serve other communities. What are those other communities?
Sure. So we like to say we service the southern part of Wood County into Adams County. So a lot of the other municipalities we serve are Grand Rapids, Nakusa, Buren, Port Edwards, the town of Rome, Rudolph. So all of those surrounding municipalities in the Wisconsin Rapids area we serve as well.
Okay. Now, do chambers generally focus on large businesses or small businesses, or is there a combination, Dave?
It's a combination, Shereen. We have our biggest member here that has over 2,500. Actually, our biggest one, the healthcare systems, are over 7,000 employees. And then we get down to the sole proprietor. And so it's everything in between in different sectors, too.
So just a few months ago, I know we were really enjoying this robust economy, low employment, record earnings, at least by some companies. It seems like this whole pandemic just turned everything on its head. So, Angel, I guess my question for you, what were some of the immediate impacts you saw with businesses in your area?
Sure. So obviously, a lot of our salons and restaurants and bars, a lot of those businesses were hit the hardest early on as they had to completely shut down their services because of the Safer at Home order. So a lot of businesses, that was their primary income, and that was just completely shut down. And then, you know, people had to try to get creative and come up with a new idea and resources to try to get business going, but initially it was a lot of people were out of work and they didn't know where necessarily to turn to right away.
And did they turn to you? I mean, did they know to come to the chamber for help? Or did you find that really this was just uncharted territory, Angel?
So I think that many businesses and individuals reached out to the chamber, as our goal is always to be the first choice for resources for our community. And then others kindly kind of broke into saying, hey, the chamber is here. How come I haven't been talking to them this whole time? And then we've kind of opened up and made sure that we were in the front face of this. And I mean, even with us having all the resources and knowledge we have, it was still, I think, uncharted territory. People didn't know how to get started, what resources were available. And as things came down from the state and federal level, we had to help assess that and provide that information in more clearer context so that businesses could understand it easily and more quickly.
Dave, what about you? How severe was the impact in the greater Wausau area immediately?
Mm-hmm. Well, from the perspective of the economy up here, we're a strong manufacturing center up here. We have over 300 manufacturers, and many of those were deemed essential. And so while they went through this process, they had to mitigate the risk for their employees and their customers if they were bringing customers in to prevent the spread and make sure everybody was safe. So there was some of that was still going on, but what we found is what Angel found, too, was a lot of the small those businesses that were deemed non-essential really had to pivot fast. And the information flow, I would say, as to Angel's point, was like drinking out of a fire hydrant. Fast and furious from the federal, state, not so much the local level at that point in time, but from the Fed and the state as to what we have to do fast to and I think importantly to Angel's point is to get that information, dissect it, and get the relevant information fast to the businesses in the community. That was first and foremost. But then we had gone through this to some extent when I was back here in the Great Recession, but this was immediate. And what you could see coming across the country when it started in Seattle and then made its way to L.A., and then it you saw what was going to happen here. So we had a little bit of notice, not a lot, but a little bit. We understood what was coming and started to get ourselves positioned because we were deemed, chambers were deemed non-essential as to how do we continue to fight for our members and provide for our members and our community. Everybody actually became a member during this thing in the past 2 months. And so making sure our team was ready to function, ready at safe at home. And that's where we spent a lot of time in that first week or so getting that infrastructure set.
Dave, did I hear you right that you were deemed non-essential? That the chambers were deemed non-essential?
Yes.
How did you cope with
that? We didn't qualify as a 501c6, which chambers are typically in their tax status. We did not qualify for any PPP money, and so maintaining our team in a virtual presence was so important because I am so proud of my team, Shireen, and I want to state that. Right now, we couldn't have done what we did over the past 2 months and continue to do without the team we have here. And I'm sure Angel is feeling the same way. But we understand though that the essential, non-essential part, it was hard for us, but we managed through it.
Both of you mentioned pivoting, how businesses pivoted. I can think of one here, for example, the Timekeeper Distillery. They changed their operation considerably. Angel, what about your area? How did some businesses pivot to react to this in your area?
Yeah, so some businesses got very creative in our area. So restaurants went to curbside or delivery. Some of our bars decided to do packaged drinks and Bloody Mary packages, so you could get everything for a Bloody Mary. And then some of our retailers or smaller businesses that maybe didn't have a strong online presence really amped up their online presence and program. We worked with several of our members to do promotions and talk about best practices for online, where are some great resources to learn how you can have a successful online platform so you can still do purchases. So that happened as well. So a lot of the businesses became very innovative very quickly. And then they also expanded partnerships. You know, were there other businesses that could help them in aid with different services or products here locally so that business could still happen during that time? So the business community just really jumped in and said, let's help each other, let's do this, and then let's provide those services to the community.
No, something that you just said about the bars offering those Bloody Mary mixes to go and those pre-mixed drinks, did that require some ordinance changes? Did you have to talk to the communities about that?
Yeah, so here locally, we reached out and said, you know, what can and can't they do, right? Because obviously having mixed drinks and things like that. So how we worked with the city and the ordinance on that is we, you know, you can't have a mixed drink that has those beverages in it, but you can have the packaged bottles, right? So the bottles themselves weren't open. Everything was mixed besides alcohol, having it being in there. So that way it was still following within the ordinance. So I know that locally here, Marshfield, they've expanded some of their ordinance so that some of the restaurants can have outdoor seating to that way, because right now internally they don't have capacity. So they're opening their ordinance for outdoor restaurant seating at this time. So a little bit of legwork has happened in central Wisconsin with some of the ordinance, but we've tried to align with them as best as we can.
Yeah, a lot of that happened here in Wausau, too. They just changed the ordinance to allow for some of that as well. Dave, I wanted to ask you about the Ready, Let's Grow campaign. Can you share what that is?
Certainly. So we started this discussion knowing that we were going to come out of this at some point. We started the discussion about 5 weeks ago as to say, okay, what are we going to do to have for our community and for our members as a resource to begin to reignite our economy? And Ready, Let's Grow was a campaign that we worked in partnership with Kenzie Green, where they provided professional services gratis to help us develop this platform. And what it is intended to do in a statement, ready, period, let's grow, with a arrow going up. And ready means to get our businesses ready. So what do they have to do to open their doors safely, to gain the respect and trust of their customers, the people that are going to come in and spend money? But then at the same time, we want to also educate the consumer as to here's what businesses are going to be going through, and you need to respect businesses. I think everybody needs to be respectful of what businesses are going to have for safety. And that was the ready portion. The Let's Grow is more of a public relations campaign where we want to make sure we're putting all efforts to support our local business economy here, small business especially. It's been extremely challenging, and this has just started for us, and we anticipate this program going on for well over a year.
Angel, what about you? Does the Heart of Wisconsin have an official framework to help your member businesses reopen?
So we are doing tying the community together with a lot of the same concepts that Dave talked about. Working with Aspirus on their Work Well program is integrated in with this, and then the Wood County Health Department to have webinars, training series on how to open safely and communicate that out to the community. So a similar platform, but we're really focusing on tying the community together so it can open successfully.
Angel Whitehead of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber and Dave Ekman of the Greater Wausau Chamber of Commerce, our guests today on Route 51, as we continue our discussion on reopening the region's economy. Your questions are welcome, too. Email us at route51@wpr.org and be sure to include your first name and city of residence. Join the conversation by phone at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Dave Ekman and Angel Whitehead are our guests today as we discuss the role of local chambers of commerce in the quest to reopen and reinvigorate the region's economy amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Your questions are welcome, too. Email us at route51@wpr.org and be sure to include your first name and city of residence. You can join the conversation by phone at 800-780-9742. One thing you mentioned earlier, Dave, was about consumer confidence. And just because shops and restaurants are open, boy, that doesn't mean that residents are going to go out and shop and eat. As of late April, U.S. consumer confidence at an all-time low. Surveys suggesting that many residents are still unlikely to eat out anytime soon because they fear becoming ill. So for businesses that are legitimately clean and safe, they're ready for customers to shop, to eat. So how are you working to help businesses boost that consumer confidence, Dave?
Yeah. So through a lot of the programs that Angel's talked about, the resources for businesses, which continually they change every day, frankly. And as they come out, we get them to the businesses. But we've learned something as to where business is going to be now and in the future. There's some things businesses having to close their doors have learned. And that means to adapt to curbside online sales that Angel was referring to, and then having their door open. So to build and maintain customers, one, they have to provide the safety assurances that their customers are looking for, but they have to sustain forward options. Some customers still want to do business, but they don't want to go in. So curbside sales is going to be important now moving forward. Online sales is going to be important moving forward. So they have to maintain those different perspectives of doing business. So it's just not opening your doors and everything going away. You can't do that.
On Tuesday, I thought this was neat. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation launched this Main Street Wisconsin. It's a retail database connecting online shoppers with all these businesses throughout the state. There's like 200 businesses. So I guess how important do you see programs like that with respect to the businesses in your region that are just now opening their doors? Angel, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so I think the connectivity to local retailers and businesses is super key right now as we're trying to slowly reopen the economy back to our new normal. I know here in Wood County, we've partnered with the City of Wisconsin Rapids to develop an interactive map where local businesses can post those updates. So essentially, it's a business listing, but they can put whether they're fully opened, whether they're offering curbside, delivery services, or limited hours, because we know here as a local community, it's hard to figure that out. It's hard to really get who's available and what services are provided where people can still feel safe. So this interactive map locally here was key to making sure that we could promote the local economy while still having that connection with the community. So we were really excited when the WEDC launched that on a larger scale for the state.
Angel, so what percentage of businesses in your area have fully reopened? Is it large?
No, I would say it's probably less than 50%. I know Dave mentioned earlier there, a lot of the manufacturers locally were deemed essential. The same can be said. And then, you know, we have some restaurants and some things like that have chosen not to open fully yet. They said, we want our customers to feel safe, and we're going to do this in a very mindful way while using the Wood County Health Department and WEDC's recommendations. So we have quite a few restaurants that have done soft openings where people can now come in for pickup, but they're still doing delivery, curbside, and then they plan on opening late June instead, to really give that focus on safety, because again, we want the consumers to feel safe when they're out shopping.
So what are you hearing from local businesses about their Memorial Day crowds? We're just coming off that holiday weekend. Have the local businesses that opened in the greater Wausau area found any success, or are they still struggling, Dave?
you know, they had about a week after the Supreme Court decision to prep for the holiday weekend. And that, for many, was not enough time. And so what we have found, Shereen, is that most of our businesses started to open up very softly this week on Tuesday. And most of the restaurants, too, very limited hours, not having full schedule, not having full crews, and doing the distancing measures that are required. For Memorial Day weekend, I can tell you, as I understand from the businesses that I did talk to, there were some retail environments that were doing fine, but they had a flow of traffic, so it wasn't like an onslaught of people coming in and crowding up a business. So steady, if you will, steady.
What are you hearing in your region, Angel?
Yeah, so again, I can reflect what Dave was saying. A lot of businesses, they kind of did a soft opening. A lot of them felt they didn't have enough time to really prep to have that full store open. So again, they still had some limitations, only allowing so many people in. Business was steady, but of course, you know, it's not going to be the way it was before right away. That's going to take time. That's going to need that confidence building back up in the community. But steady business, I would say, definitely. One thing to note is a lot of recreation happened outside, which was fantastic. I know towards the end of the Safer at Home, a lot of those restrictions were being lifted so people can go outside and do that physical distancing while enjoying the recreation that we have here in Wisconsin.
And we're talking about getting into the summer season, the summer tour season. I'm curious about the regional approach versus the statewide approach. Now, Dave, is the Greater Wausau Chamber advocating for a more regional approach to reopening the state? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that question, because when this started, myself, Angel, and Portage County Business Council, and Marshfield, and Merrill, we all started to get on the phone and talk to each other for the first few weeks of this, until the flow of information hit us all and we had to manage it. But regionally, yeah, we work together. And so, but what we know, and I'm in conversations with my county health officer, Joan, and I do believe that my peers down in Wood County are also in contact with their health officers. And so through those, at least from my perspective up here, I work closely with my health officer, and I know she works closely with Portage and Wood County health officers regionally too.
Okay. Angel, how important is it to work with others in your region? I mean, what about the neighboring counties? You came from Portage County, right? So what is your relationship like with those neighboring regions?
Oh, I would say that, I always like to say we're Central Wisconsin strong, and I don't say that very lightly, because the communication and the collaboration we have here as a region is like no other I've seen. I came from Portage County, was raised in Adams County, go up to Marathon County very often. So I have my hands in a little bit of everything here, and the conversations we have and the collaborative efforts that we come together with, whether that's Synergy, which is our economic development entity for the region, or it's just having phone call conversations to have an update on what each of us are doing and how maybe we can piggyback on that to develop our region further in a normal instance, or efforts that we're working on here locally to really gauge how we can better service Central Wisconsin.
Well, not just regionally, but I would imagine that there has to be some coordination with the cities. Here in Wausau, for example, Wausau, of course, is the largest community in the greater Wausau region. So, Dave, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with the city and how you work together to better those goals?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it goes beyond just the city of Wausau, because the Greater Wausau Metro has a bunch of different smaller communities, and we partner with McDevco, the Marathon County Development Corporation, and sit on weekly conversations with all the municipal administrative leadership and then the city of Wausau too, and then county. So those weekly phone calls were really, and still are, the Zoom meetings are, were purposed to make sure we're all communicating and coordinating our activities essentially as we work through the information flow and the things that we needed to do to help businesses and communities through the process of Safer at Home. And that continues today. And, you know, more, our voice of business and industry and community is to be an advocate. Our mission was always had advocacy in it, but advocacy has risen to the top in terms of making sure we're communicating back and forth from government and nonprofit organizations back to our business membership and non-businesses as to what was important and is going to be important as we move forward in this. So, that's a partnership with McDevco, which we really appreciate.
I'm glad you brought up McDevco. I was just thinking about this. There was a lot of discussion this week when the city approved allocating about 70% of its CARES Act funding to McDevco for distribution. I will say this decision was not unexpected. I mean, they've handled these kinds of things for decades for Wausau, but there was some criticism. Some council members here were really concerned that the distribution model, this first come, first serve basis for funding rather than a lottery system like the WEDC has, might leave some businesses out of the process. How does the chamber work to ensure that all businesses have access to the funding they need?
First, you know, we ran into this, Shireen, I'll take it up. Let me scale it up. We ran into this with the PPP that came out of the Treasury Department, and that was first come, first serve. And they had to reload the bank account to make sure that those that did not get the first round of money had access to the second round. Our job here at the chamber is really to make sure, as an information conveyor, we know this, and we have to be in front of business and industry that they know this resource is there. Some businesses are prepared and are going to be very aggressive to go after the dollars that they need to stay in business. Others have their heads down. And why their heads, they're not, it's not that they're not paying attention. Their heads are down because they're trying to save their business. And so for us, it's incumbent that we are persistent in our communication to them that here's the resources. If you don't know how to get to them, we're going to help you get to them. And if you need help to fill out the paperwork, we're going to get you the help to fill out the paperwork. And I know McDevco is doing the same thing over on their end too.
Sure. I know that there's a lot of red tape involved in some of those loan programs. And we've heard from some businesses that say that they're a bit mystified at how they're going to navigate through that. So are you saying that the chamber really has to take an active role in making sure that those businesses succeed in getting those loans forgiven?
Yep. Yeah. To make sure that they understand where that point of forgiveness is and where that diminishes too. Because in this time, nobody wants to take on long-term debt. It's just not a thing that anybody wants.
Absolutely. Angel, we talked a little bit earlier about how chambers represent such a wide array of businesses. There are the micro businesses that have maybe, you know, one owner or two employees, and then there are the large manufacturers. So can you talk a little bit about how their needs differ and how you work to ensure that those smaller businesses aren't left behind as the economy recovers?
Sure. So, again, a lot of our larger companies were deemed essential here, so they were still able to do operations up to a certain point, and really their needs from the chamber here locally, as Dave stated, was resources, what kind of legislation is coming out, what recommendations is coming from not only the state but the local level to continue business on, and how can they be successful that way, where some of our medium to smaller businesses, they needed that additional, you know, financial funding. They needed explanation on how these programs work. What does it mean when they say it's a loan, but it's a forgiveness loan? So again, that resource portion of it, everyone I think on some scale needs that resources, but the smaller and medium-sized businesses needed that more attention to understand what they were looking at. And then what we did here is we consulted every time something came out, we consulted local lawyers and we consulted local CPA firms on best practices as well too. And then that way we had a referral source that if a business couldn't fill out the paperwork or they didn't understand, we had experts that we could refer them to say, these are the people you want to call, these are the people that can help you. We have resources, but these are the guys you want to give a call to.
So what about those micro businesses that didn't qualify for these programs? They didn't get the PPP. They just didn't. And I mean, they for a variety of reasons, they didn't qualify. What kind of help is out there for businesses like that, Dave?
Well, right now, I know the federal government is looking at making some adaptations to the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, which is part of the CARES Act, and then the PPP to allow for some of those smaller businesses. And there's still monies left in the second round of the PPP funding. So they're addressing that. Locally, it's going to be programs like McDevco is putting forward with the city, and then the McDevco Revolving Loan Fund that is available. The WEDC has some dollars coming out of their organization that are going to be tied to the CARES monies that are going to the state governments too. But for that, right now, it's getting back up to Commerce fast.
I've read some interesting articles about proposals about setting up maybe cooperative financing mechanisms. So I guess if state and federal relief efforts fail or they run out, is there any value in that kind of program? Angel, what do you think for your region?
I know for us locally, we also work with WEDA, which is a state organization, and they have some great funding models and some structures that can help businesses with understanding capital stacking and kind of looking for those opportunities where businesses, if you know they don't qualify for these programs, where can they go? And a lot of them can't sustain additional debt at this time. So what we've been taking a higher look at is what can we do locally here? Is there opportunities here that can help with that funding? I know McDevco is doing their grant program from the Wausau. And I know here the city of Wisconsin Rapids allocated funds to do a small business emergency grant that helped pay mortgages, rent, and leases for individuals within the city limits. And many municipalities surrounding us have reached out to me with that same platform that they were interested in. And so I think some of the municipalities are jumping in to help support these local businesses to keep those storefronts open. And then a lot of our local banking industry is offering, you know, very low interest loans that that hopefully can get these businesses up and going until we get back to that full capacity.
Angel Whitehead of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber and Dave Ekman of the Greater Wausau Chamber of Commerce, our guests today on Route 51, as we continue our discussion on reopening the region's economy. Your questions are welcome, too. Email us at route51@wpr.org and be sure to include your first name and city of residence. You can call us as well, 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from UW-Madison Badger Talks Live, a live stream series dedicated to helping people cope, stay engaged, and thrive. More information is at badgertalks.wisc.edu.
We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Dave Ekman and Angel Whitehead are our guests today as we discuss advocacy efforts supporting local businesses as the region's economy reopens. Your questions are welcome as well. Email us at route51@wpr.org. Be sure to include your first name and city of residence. You can also call us, 800-780-9742, the number to call. Before the pandemic, our entire region was facing a worker shortage. This was especially true in childcare and healthcare and the industrial trades. Dave, do you think the pandemic will exacerbate this existing workforce shortage? Are you hearing that it's difficult to find new hires for those essential businesses that didn't shut down during the Safer at Home order?
A lot of those businesses that were deemed essential have maintained their workforce. What we have found is, you know, things like this happen. And when they do happen, the Great Recession did something where it disrupted the economy. But it's a reset opportunity for people, too. So if they found themselves with an employer that they were not satisfied with, or in a professional position they were not satisfied with, this is an opportunity for them to find another employer or to upskill in this environment because of the tremendous benefits that are coming out of workforce development. Is this going to slow the talent crisis down? Yeah, it is going to slow it down, obviously, while there's a reset. But anticipation, Aaron, you look at the stock market and where it's heading, that if there's a quick rebound in this, that's by and large, the talent crisis will be back. What I wanted to share in where the opportunity is, if we look at the country and we see where the high spiking outbreak is with this disease, this virus, that communities in central Wisconsin, like Wisconsin Rapids, Point, Marshfield, Wausau, this is an opportunity for us to attract people who do not want to live in those big city environments that offer congestion, where we are safer, more affordable, and we have room to grow and spread out here. And so I look at this strategically as a long-term opportunity for us to pivot in our region.
Angel, what are you hearing from the workforce there? Are people eager to get back to work, or are they afraid to go?
No, I think, a lot of people are very ready to be back to work. A lot of phone calls about people looking for work, either, like Dave said, they're looking to swap it up and they want to find a different kind of employment, or they're wanting to upscale and enrolling in our local technical colleges here. So people are ready to get back to work, and of course they want to be safe about it, but they're looking to, you know, really help the economy here locally. And our community has, last year we had our storm that hit pretty hard, and some businesses suffered some great losses in that storm, and people just really kind of come together in times like this to really help. So I know there's quite a few individuals who have taken, instead of taking just a full-time job, they've taken two part-time jobs because they feel that they can better help local businesses by spreading out their availability at this time. And it also helps with that daycare portion of it, is they can work certain hours and still be able to have their kids and still be able to provide for them as well.
So circling back to the boundary issue and the regional approach. We know COVID-19 does not respect boundaries, not city boundaries, not state boundaries. So it's really clear that the post-COVID destinies of cities and their neighbors are going to be linked. When there are disagreements about best practices, how do you work through that together? I guess, in other words, who gets to decide?
So if you're talking about if people are moving back and forth through the community, Shereen, is that what you're really talking about? Are you talking about having a regional authority that overarches different communities?
Working with the other chambers or the other municipalities, yeah. And you disagree about what should happen. How do you work through those kinds of conflicts?
Sure. Now, well, you really have to be respectful of the community of which you serve. And then you try, from my perspective, you try to find that middle ground in working with my peers. So in Point, Merrill, Marshfield, and Wisconsin Rapids, that we communicate and talk about what are those most important things for the communities, their businesses, the citizens, and then find those common areas. Every community is different. Every community demands something different from their stakeholders. And what we try to do as a region, from Synergy's point of view and through our chamber collaborations, is to find that common ground, if you will, while still serving the distinction of a community.
During the Safer at Home order, we heard from some law enforcement officials, Colby Abbotsford Police Chief among them, who declined to enforce the order. Now we're seeing direction from the WEDC and local health departments on best practices, but these are guidelines. They're not laws. So I guess the question, what is enforcement going to look like? Angel, do you think it's going to be up to individual businesses to decide whether they're going to abide by those guidelines?
Yeah, I think that I know from our county's perspective and for us as the chamber, we're working very closely with the Wood County Health Department, and we're using all of their recommendations along with the WEDC's guidelines to suggest and promote safe and well-being at this point. And again, a lot of local businesses are choosing to participate in this. As you said, you know, they're not laws, they're guidelines, and businesses want their customers to feel safe. They want their staff to feel safe. So I, at this point in time, I don't think we haven't had any clear issues or, you know, sometimes on the media, we kind of see like the worst case scenarios of things happening. But I think here in central Wisconsin, again, we have such a great camaraderie that we all understand that what's the best for not only us personally, but our communities. And we participate in that, and we want to do what's best for every party involved.
You know, Dave, this week, the Marathon and Clark County Health Departments issued a joint release about workers testing positive for COVID-19 at Abbeyland Foods. Now, of course, that impacts both counties. We do know the meatpacking industry has been especially hard hit by this. Thousands of workers affected across 19 states. So with the close proximity of workers in not just meat processing plants, but in the factories that really dot the landscape of North Central Wisconsin, what can the chamber do to help support these groups and find best practices?
Sure. And typically what, and we have done from the onset when we started to see the CDC guidelines and then the Department of Health Services from Wisconsin come down, and then the county, is to make sure that they understand we're talking specifically just about the manufacturers here, and even Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, who runs the Safety Council for the state of Wisconsin, aligned their safety, their COVID safety program with the state DHS. So between those organizations, really to get that information in front of the manufacturers. And then as to Angel's point, if you're not, as an employer, if you're not engaging in putting safe process and practice in place, people are going to choose not to be employed there. Your customers will choose not to do business with you. And so for the manufacturers, in a line of productivity and in production and trying to maintain the business and their customers and their supply chain, they have been very, very purposeful to put these safety mechanisms in place for masking, for distancing, for shifting their work schedules, for their break schedules, in closing down common area cafeterias, things like that. They've been very, very proactive in that, Shereen.
And Angel, what about in your area? Which industries in your area are facing the highest health risks?
I think our manufacturers have some of the highest risk. I know we have Verso Corporation here locally, which is our largest mill. And then we also have another food industry, which has a significant amount of employees there. And, you know, they're following all the safety precautions that are coming down from the county, you know, testing people when they come in for temperatures and things like that. And they plan to do that in the near future as well. But, you know, really, even though there's lots of industries that have high employee counts, it's also about that foot traffic that's happening that's here locally. So whether that's a grocery store or things like that, I think those would be more of the industries that have that higher risk factor than just the basic employers at this time. So I think that those are things to be thinking about when we travel or when we're talking about who's got those highest factors. Really looking at foot traffic and where people are going is going to be the best way to look at that information.
Health risk is one thing, but of course there's financial risk too. Do you see a large percentage of the businesses in your region, Angel, that may never open again?
You know, at this point, we haven't heard about any closures of businesses as people, again, are starting to slowly open or postponing or just opening in general. We haven't gotten a lot of feedback that they see closing happen at this point, which is a really positive sign for our area that we know that there's a chance that can happen. But all of the feedback we've gotten from the local business community is very positive in being able to make things work and figuring out what our new norm is and how they're going to continue business successfully here in central Wisconsin.
Dave, what about you? What about the Wausau area? Are you hearing from businesses that are really considering that they may not open again?
Yeah, we've heard from some that they will not open, and they're making that decision based upon the likelihood that their businesses they could open, but their business is not going to pick up. When I talk to people about my concerns with businesses, it's we were hit with a tsunami, and that tsunami made its way inland, and now it's going to go back to sea and do some more damage. We're not done with this. We're at the beginning of this because what has happened with businesses, large and small, is that their business model's been interrupted. And now getting back into where they were, it's going to be very difficult because consumer confidence has to be built. Supply chains have to be built. There's companies here in this community, big companies, that lost $500,000 a day because their orders were done. And so they've got to recover from that. And so if you're limiting consumer confidence and if you're not getting your customer back in your door fast, you still have overheads every day. And if your sales are not there, that's the long end on this thing, that it's going to hurt businesses that aren't prepared to pivot and pivot fast.
And Dave, you also talked a little bit about federal policy. So how are chambers like yours working with state and federal leaders to help shape that policy that can help businesses emerge from this crisis?
Right. So I'll go right from the local level, and Angel touched on this a little bit. We are also working very closely with our county health department, municipal leadership, because we want to make sure we have a safe place for commerce. We want the public to be safe. We want the businesses to be safe, their members or their staff, and then their customers. And we're working closely to advocate on both ends. We want to have that public safety, but we also want to have commerce in a safe manner. At the state level, at the federal level, what we're advocating for now is that we know we're going into uncharted territory in terms of knowing what the liabilities are to businesses. Lawsuits, things like that. And that's why it's so important for businesses to understand they need to adhere to these policies, put them in place and practice them. And at the same time, we're fighting along with other chambers throughout the United States to make sure there's some protections put in place in this initial and intermediate phase going back to business, that there's not an onset of lawsuits and things that businesses they don't know about that could come at them. And that's where we're working hard to be that voice.
You know, the majority of large-scale events are being canceled. The Wisconsin State Fair, the Wausau Rib Fest, Rock Fest. Hodag, of course, yesterday announced that they are changing course and they will postpone their event as well. How can chambers help ease the pain so that these events can go on in the future? One of the things that the Hodag organizers said that if they didn't hold their event this year, the losses would be so staggering they might not be able to come back. So how can, as a chamber, how can you help these kinds of organizations ensure that in future years the show will go on, if you will? I mean, what do you think about that, Angel?
So I know locally here, again, I keep saying this, working with the local health department is key to having sustainable events and programming on every level. We have an event called Lunch by the River that, you know, we have a large group of people come enjoy food and entertainment, and we want to still be able to have that event. So how do we have that while being mindful of the safety of others at this time and using those recommendations? So what we've decided to do is work very closely with the Wood County Health Department, and essentially any event or programming that we're going to have moving forward is going to have their seal of approval. So that means every ounce of our planning, every spacing, every vendor is going to be looked at by our department. And then if they give us the green light, then we're putting their seal of approval on it so people know that they can have safer events. And I know a lot of events, it's not just about the safety aspect, but it's about that sponsorship being able to provide for those larger events. So when you talk about safety, it's not just about the individuals attending. It's about those people who are sponsoring or promoting those events. They want people to feel safe, and they want to be attached to something safer. So we here are really working with our local nonprofits and our event planners so they understand what it means to be safe, to have events upcoming, and then being innovative about it, understanding that we are going to have to change the way we have events, whether that's maybe portions of it are online, physical distancing, not having, you know, actual silverware, but things being packaged such as condiments. So, yeah, we're really partnering with our local health department to make sure that all of these policies are in place to have future events.
Thank you. That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guests, Dave Ekman of the Greater Wausau Chamber of Commerce and Angel Whitehead from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber in Wisconsin Rapids. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer, who is also our on-air producer today. Our producer is Joy Ratchkramer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, a look at the best backyard reads and movies of the summer. Until then, we're heading out of town.